Inside Black and Gold, Jeff Nowak, Steve Geller, coming at you a few days behind the schedule. Still talking about the first OTA session. We've got another OTA session coming at us in a couple days, but did want to catch up. You know, what we saw, what we heard from the players in the locker room, from the players on the field. And so this segment, I want to talk exclusively about quarterbacks. And that includes Hunter Deckers. That includes Jake Haener. That includes Tyler Shuck. That includes Spencer Rattler. You know, one thing I always get a kick out of is when we come home from these sessions and I see like all these breakdowns of like, Spencer Rattler looks so confident out there. And it's from somebody who was like, was not there. And I'm like, what are you basing this on? I know for a fact you didn't see any video because they don't take video of the actual drills. And it's almost always
that like, of 8 for 8. And that was it.
Yes, it is off like these basic stats. And it's off of like B-roll of drills. We're talking about the team drills, which you can't take video of that. So you're not seeing the 8 for 8 on any of these highlight reels. Anyway, it's a weird situation because like, yes, I thought Spencer did look great. But it's got to come with a massive caveat of like, they're not doing anything right now.
You better look great right now, right?
Yeah, right. If you didn't look great right now, it's more of a situation where you didn't have a massive red flag emerge that it's like, man, yeah, he looks like he can't hack it, which I thought was the case for Ian Book in year two, right? Like Ian Book year one was like, okay, he's a rookie, he's finding his way. And then year two, he showed up and he just looked bad, you know? So that's what you want to avoid happening. But first, I want to start with the guys who didn't take any reps in the OTA sessions. And that was Jake Haener, dealing with an oblique injury, similar injury to what Derek Carr had in week 5 against the Chiefs, right? He actually talked to Derek about that injury because, you know, they're not the exact same injury, but he did deal with it. So some insight. It was funny because we asked him about Derek retiring and he was like, well, he's not dead. Like, we can still talk to him. Like, it's not like when you retire from football, you dissolve from the planet. Like, he's still out there. So they could still chat with him from time to time, but so he's dealing with that. Now, Derek's injury took about 3 weeks to come back from. He came back in week 9 against the Panthers. That was the last game of the 7-game losing streak. It was the game that they lost and that DA got fired immediately after. So, I mean, like the timeline of it would lead you to believe that like he's not going to have his training camp impacted at all. But you're also not going to force anything at this point in the offseason. So if it is like a 3-week injury, you're not going to be like, oh, maybe I can get back for mini camp. Like, no, you're just going to cut it off and say, we'll see you in July. That said, it's not a helpful thing for a guy who I don't think was really in the quarterback competition. Like, Kellen's going to maintain that he is, but you're just going to get further and further from the picture that is one of these two guys in Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener and Tyler Shuck is the starting quarterback. And you're just kind of floating around in that room.
Yeah, there's a ton of question. I mean, I get all, with all the quarterbacks, but Haener comes in with the not having the benefit of being selected by this coaching staff. We saw him very limited action last year when he got his shot and was kind of yanked really quickly, and then it was the Spencer show. You kind of wish that maybe Haener got a little more of that thrown into the deep end of the pool. And it just didn't happen for him. And what we did see at all, Jeff, though, was not impressive. There was really no positives to take away.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I thought he came on in relief and played pretty well a couple times.
Okay, right. As the starter was like, eek.
Right. But here's the thing. Like, and one of the Jake has a hard time kind of not telling you how he's feeling when he's annoyed. He is right in feeling like, man, I kind of got screwed over in that game against Washington. Cause like, I mean, yes, the first half went poorly, but like guys have bad halves all the time. He's getting yanked at halftime. Like Spencer was allowed to play out several games where it was going real, real bad the whole way. And Jake didn't get in until like the fourth quarter when it was already out of reach. So I understand why he was a little annoyed at that point, because it's like, man, this is, you finally gave me a chance and then you're not even giving me a chance to like bounce back from a rough half, you know, and that's where we'll never know if he would have come back in that second half and played better, because Spencer came out and played well. that wasn't exactly a great Washington defense. You make some adjustments, you figure it out. He never got the chance to do that. But yeah, I mean, there's limited tape, right? And that's not going to benefit him at all. And what's going to end up working in Spencer's favor is he's got 6 games of starting experience to pull from, even though it went badly. Experience is experience. And Jake just doesn't have that. So, you know, it's just, he's just going to get further and further from the picture. And yeah, you feel bad for the kid because, you know, last year he was dealing with skin cancer during training camp. This year he's got this injury. It's like, you can never have just a simple runway. Like, he gets drafted and then immediately the coaching staff changes the offense on him the next year. And then the head coach gets fired. And it's like, there's a lot of different ways you can have, like, there's a lot of different types of runways into the NFL. He has had the, you know, the difficulty set up to like 15 of like, oh, well, what is your pathway going to be? You know, Tyler's is like set to like 2. Tyler has the easiest pathway because he's a higher draft pick. You know, he has someone who might start ahead of him, but is not a veteran who you have to wonder how long he's going to play for. You know, like, you have a chance to win the job outright. Jake never had even close to that. Like, he had a chance to compete for a backup job. And even then, it kind of felt like, you know, that wasn't actually true. It was kind of like, yeah, maybe you'll be out here enough to justify your existence. But even then, it was pretty clear that once the opportunity to start came around, he wasn't really the guy they were looking at. So,
yeah, what I feel like Shuck has the advantage with going into this year with the QBs is kind of what Spencer had last year. Cause I don't know, I looked at him as more of a Clint Kubiak guy instead of the previous regime with Hayner. So in that aspect, Rattler got more of the benefit of the doubt, if you would say.
Yeah. Like, when it came to actually playing, it was Spencer's job.
Yeah.
And Jake was just kind of there. And, you know, they're going to tell him, oh, if you win the job, you're going to get it. Yeah, it doesn't really work that way when there's an investment in somebody else. All that said, I want to talk about Hunter Deckers because, to me, Jake and Hunter is the real competition.
Yeah,
so agreed. You have a starting quarterback competition and you have a third string quarterback competition that's going to end up developing. And it's going to be, okay, who starts between Tyler and Spencer and who's still on the roster between Hunter and Jake. And so I got a chance to talk to Hunter Deckers in the locker room. He's got a really fascinating story after the last OTA session. So here's a bit of that interview.
Where I see my game going is, honestly, the sky's the limit. I mean, I haven't played football I played football last year, I guess, but JUCO's a little bit different level than here in the Power 5 level. So I just think, like, I haven't played football for 2 full years. So it's like, for me, just being able to get back into this type of flow of everything, playing at the speed of the game, being in this type of playbook, understanding the knowledge of that. Once I get the hang of that, which I feel like I've done a really good job of so far, I think the sky's the limit.
All right, it's like the one thing to go from Power 5 to here.
Yeah.
JUCO, like, well, what's the speed like?
Yeah, obviously I knew it was going to be faster, but I've played at the Division 1 level, so I knew what that level was like, and I understood that. But obviously the NFL is a whole different level. And I knew that, but I knew coming into here I just had to be ready, and I feel like I've done a really good job with that so far.
In the tryout process, did you have options? Were there multiple teams that maybe you could have gone to? Or was it?
No, this was the one team. This was the one team that offered me.
And I mean, I just kind of like, why do you think the Saints were drawn to you?
Man, to be honest, I think they see a lot of talent in a kid that really hasn't been able to show it the last couple of years because of a situation that he's learned from. And, you know, I'm super grateful for that. And they see me for the type of person I am on and off the field. And I feel like I'm super grateful for that.
So you don't think it's just because you're a lefty and Kellen?
No, I would hope not. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Since I've gotten here, I've realized there's a lot of lefties in this building, which is really cool to see. It's not very often you see that.
Yeah, so that's Hunter Deckers. If you're unfamiliar with his story, you know, started out at Iowa State. He was actually Brock Purdy's backup in the 2022 season. He started 12 games. You know, he had a kind of betting account that over like 5 years had like $2,000 total wagered. The bet that got him banned was like a $15 bet on a Iowa State game. He didn't even play in it. You know, it was on his team to win. I just think he didn't understand the consequences that could potentially happen at that point, which is what he said. And, you know, he was actually surprised that he got banned because it was like, you know, man, like zero tolerance policy didn't mess around. And it's also like, wow, you look around at all the betting that is now in place. It's like, okay, this we're going to pretend that like, oh, this is the biggest issue is a college kid putting down a $15 bet, banned for life. But no one wanted to touch him, right? Like he obviously ended up having to go to JUCO, which he didn't even realize was going to be an option for him. Like UFL teams didn't want anything to do with him. So, you know, like the Saints throughout this process, they put a lot of effort, a lot of scouting into Hunter. And at the end of the day, they were like, okay, we'll bring him in and we'll see how that goes. I don't think there's a lot of understanding of what he can do at the NFL level because he just hasn't played against top end competition. He played well at JUCO at Iowa Western, like the king of directional schools, I think is what Bobby put it.
Like, how is gambling looked at more severe than I feel like domestic violence?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and it's right. It's like the consequences for the it's very hypocritical in the way that it's enforced. But like, I mean, Joe Mixon was a first round pick, a second round pick, and he had plenty of problems during that back at Oklahoma. But he
video evidence of it, yeah.
When the talent is there, people tend to look past stuff. Sure. Now, there's always been kind of a thing about gambling that, you know, the leagues just tend to not be willing or able to be like, okay, we'll figure something out beyond you're never going to play again for the rest of your life. But, you know, the Saints were willing to look past that. And so it's cool. Like I'm looking forward to see him out there. I don't know what his ceiling is going to be. I think it's probably a backup ceiling, but you know, this is a big opportunity for him to, you know, kind of rehabilitate that image. And the Saints are giving him that chance. So I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I like, he's one of those guys, obviously the developmental piece right now, but from what we saw at rookie camp, I was like, all right, I get it. I see it. The arm talent is there. And yeah, we'll see more to be determined come training camp. But right now, like the addition, and I've mentioned it before, I'll say it again. It's like, I think that's a dude that could push Haener for that third slot. And he just mentioned it too, coming into this segment.
Yeah, he's got a line bar. He's got a live arm. He's athletic. He is a lefty.
Looks the part, 6'3", 225.
Yeah. No, he's, I mean, there's a reason that he at one point was thought of to be a high-end quarterback prospect out at Iowa State, you know, and it just didn't, obviously, things happened that were, I can't say beyond his control, because he did have some modicum of control over whether he placed that bet or not, but definitely, you know, you hope, he's a good kid, like, it is not like, yeah, like there's things you can look at and be like, wow, it's a huge problem. It's a huge character red flag that you don't want to bring in. You're worried about your locker room. This isn't that. Now,
if he bet against the team, I'd be a little more concerned.
I mean, even then, it's like you're talking about $15 for a 20-year-old kid. It's not even a thing. It's like it's not like you're talking about point shaving or like it's just something that leagues view as such a black mark that they don't want to like. The second that, you know, people will say like, oh, it's fixed. It's this. It's this. If a scandal of that degree that people lose belief in the integrity of the game, like that would be a death knell for any league. So they are kind of proactive about making sure that's not the case. Like, look at Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams, like, it's not even illegal for guys to gamble on sports, or it's not against the rules to gamble on sports, but like Jameson Williams got in trouble. Like, you can't gamble on the NFL, but like you could put a bet down on a basketball game if you're an NFL player, but you can't do it at a team facility,
right?
And that's where Jameson Williams got in trouble when he got suspended. I can't remember how many games he got suspended, but like all he did was put a bet down like on team Wi-Fi, right? And he probably didn't even know. So it's you know, Calvin Ridley was another example where he was betting on the team that he was on. And so that's, you know, but either way, it is what it is. It's not going to affect him as a player. At a certain point, we'll stop talking about it because it's irrelevant to the conversation of like, should he make the team? But again, just to go back to it, like to me, there's two quarterback battles. One is between quarterback Jake Haener and Tanner Deckers. The other one's Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. We didn't get to see him do any kind of team activity during that OTA session we saw. So hopefully this Thursday we see him more in the mix. I don't know. Like I said, from that rookie minicamp, I thought he had a pretty lively arm, and curious to see what else he can do.
Yeah, I'm curious if that changes. I think like the timing of Jake's injury was like they weren't going to get him any reps. And with Jake getting hurt, I thought maybe they would get him some reps. With Jake not being there the next three sessions, I would expect to get something from him, because it had been Jake, Spencer, and Tyler kind of rotating with the first team, second team, third team. So we'll see. But let's move on to Spencer Rattler. You know, the stats, I've said my piece on camp stats. All that said, yeah, you know, when you're talking about 7-on-7s, if you're not 100%, then I need to know why. Like, was it a drop? Did you mess up? Right? Because, like, there's no pass rush. I've always felt like you should have a timer on these. Like, you get, like 8 seconds. If the ball's still in your hand after 8 seconds, it's the whatever throw you make is just for funsies. Like, it doesn't count. Because, like, there was one play for Tyler that, you know, he worked all the way back to his backside read, which, fantastic. When there's no one trying to take your head off, you can do that. Like, you're not really getting that amount of time in a game. There was a couple reps like that that, you know, he went 7 for 8, but they were not, you know, it was like a late check down over the middle. It was, you know, Kevin Austin standing there waiting. It just, the timing wasn't there. That's not to be like down on Tyler Shuck. It's just the reality of like, he's a rookie. He's coming in. He's going to be a little less decisive. Whereas Spencer, like, that was what, when people say look confident out there, like, that's what it was. It was the balls coming out of his hand fast. It was on time. It was on target. He was making the right decisions with the ball, or at least look that way. I don't know what the reads are. It helps when you complete them. And he made a couple really nice throws. So did Tyler. Tyler had a really good deep ball to Rashid Shaheed. But I mean, this is like where you're at with this competition. Is, you know, we're just going to see how these guys develop. It's about the language, the terminology. Can you get in and out of the huddle? Can you make the play calls? Are you confident out there? Do guys believe in you? That sort of thing. And for now, it's kind of, it feels like Spencer's ahead, but that's nominal at this point.
I find it funny too, Jeff, from just, you know, social media and fans out there, there isn't, the Rattler hive is definitely thinned out coming into this year, I feel like.
I mean, the Rattler hive was always a good percentage of people that just hated Derek Carr, and we're going to root for literally anyone who was a Derek Carr, right? Like, at the end, like, and that's not to say there weren't any Rattler fans, but like, a big part of it was, I want anybody else
but Derek, right?
So now it's like people making the decision of whether they actually like Spencer Rattler or not. And, you know, I mean, I think there are still a good number of Rattler fans. He's still an exciting young quarterback. He's got all the arm talent in the world. You know, he had one play where he took Juwan Johnson off his feet with like, was like a 95 mile an hour fastball. It felt like he was just rifle. It was kind of like, it kind of felt like he just wanted to see how hard he could throw it, which I do think is a problem for Spencer. Like, I think when I have criticism of Spencer, it is, okay, sometimes you need to understand the touch you have to put on a ball. It can't always be a 90 mile an hour fastball. I know, I get it. You got that in your arsenal, but you know, sometimes you just need to get the ball there where the guy can catch it, especially if you're throwing to a running back. Like, the number of times I saw running backs go put their hands over their head and have a ball fly through their hands was like, that's a little too often. Like, I need you to understand, like, you're throwing to Kendre Miller, you got to give him a more catchable ball, you know, stuff like that. So that's the type of stuff year two that I'll be looking for Spencer, that I was willing to look past in year one.
Right.
Whereas like now, those are the type of kind of nuanced, clinical, kind of very specific things that you have needed to have identified this offseason and worked on, and come in looking a little like you understand that a little bit more.
A little more polished.
Yeah, more polished. It's a good way to put it. But this is what Kellen Moore had to say when you talked about Spencer Rattler and like where he is and the plans for him.
Spencer's done an excellent job. I think this time of year, always the process and the command is a really important aspect of this thing. We get some components of the physical, you know, exposure, but his ability to command, call the plays in the huddle, understanding of what all 11 are responsible for, I think he's doing an excellent job. I think for Spencer's situation, anytime you get a chance to play, there's always value and lessons in that. No matter the circumstance, I thought, you know, he handled himself well last year competing and navigating, you know, potentially a few that were a little bit of a challenging situations. And then for any guy in general, your second offseason is always a huge jump. I think that's historically everyone, you know, references that as that second year jump for these guys, because the first year, you know, there's a little bit of swimming, you know, going into that. You go right from your college season right into that the draft process, which is a long process for these guys. And then we throw them right into football again. And so they've been through a lot. And so that second year, you find some rhythm, you find some continuity in yourself. You're able to kind of build your own offseason program. And so Spencer's doing an excellent job.
Yeah, I think that's what you've seen. That's what people are reacting to. It's like he looks like a guy who's been preparing all offseason and has come in kind of loaded for bear. And that's good. Like, that's what you want to see, because, like, here's the thing. And we talked about this, like, as a fifth round pick, your opportunities to just go out and win a quarterback job are not, you know, they're few and far between. Let's put it that way. Like, that, these opportunities don't come around very often, you know. And if you don't take advantage of this one, there's no guarantee you're going to get another one. You could play 10 more years in the NFL. Like, you look at guys like Chase Daniel, there are career backups, and that's not the worst thing in the world to be. But, you know, how many games did Chase Daniel start in his NFL career? Let's see. Let's look. What's your guess? What's your guess, Steve?
I'll guess nine.
Totals.
I'll guess nine starts.
Yeah. So total, a 13-year NFL career, 5 total starts.
Wow. Even less than I thought.
Right. And he's a successful backup quarterback in the NFL. Luke McCown. What do you think? So a guy like Luke McCown, how many starts do you think he had in his career?
4.
10. So he played a 10-year NFL career.
I should have flip-flopped my numbers.
Right, he started 10 total games. 4 of them came as a rookie with the Browns.
Like, what did he have? 1 with the Saints?
He had 1 with the so he had 4 starts with so the Bucs was 2007. So he went from 2004 to 2007 without starting a game. So he had 4 starts. He went 0-4 for the Browns in 2004. He had 3 starts in 2007 with the Bucs. He went 1-2. He had 2 starts in 2011 with the Jags. He went 1-1, and he had 1 start over 3 years with the Saints. Drew Brees, that was the game against the Panthers. Drew Brees missed it. And he actually played really well in that game. They had a chance to win. Josh Norman had a pretty crazy, it was Brandon Cooks he was throwing to. Josh Norman had a crazy interception to end that game. I remember vividly. I wasn't even here at that point. I was watching the game. It was a great game. But you don't have a ton of opportunities to be an NFL starting quarterback. Like, you know, Spencer Rattler already has more starts in his career than Chase Daniel, who played 13 years in the NFL and was employed constantly. So, like, again, you know, if you're Spencer, you're not leaving anything on the table here. You're going full bore the entire way. And this is what Spencer had to say just in general when he talked in the locker room.
Nothing's promised, so you want to work every day. You want to lead your guys, you know, being a quarterback. Got to have confidence out there. Got to have a little swag and just, you know, get your teammates to believe in you. The mindset stays the same no matter what situation you're in. Just attack each day. Try to be the best guy out there and just lead your guys.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what he looks like. He looks like a guy who understands what's in front of him. And even that said, like, that might not be enough. Because at the end of the day, Tyler Shuck is going to be the guy that everyone's talking about. And he's going to get the headlines. And, like, you're going to go on ESPN. And, like, when ESPN, the rare instances that ESPN talks about the Saints, they're going to be talking about Tyler Shuck. They're not going to be talking about Spencer Rattler. They're going to be talking about it in terms of how long is it before Tyler Shuck starts, right? Even if Spencer is your starter week one, the conversation will be, yeah, but how long is it going to be until they give the keys to the guy that everyone assumes is going to play? So, I don't know. Have a chip on your shoulder. Use that however you need to use that. And we'll see. I'm rooting for Spencer. And here's the thing. The team wants Spencer to be capable of starting. Like, the team does not want to be in a situation where they feel like they don't have any quarterbacks ready to start. They would much rather have a situation where Spencer plays so well that they have to start Tyler on the bench.
The good news is, I feel like for Spencer, he has that, the way he carries himself, the personality, it's like, oh, go ahead. Everyone can doubt me. I'm going to show you what I can do.
Yeah. No, he's got the right mindset. He's got the right approach. We'll just see. And it's going to, you know, we went through the schedule predictions. I already on record saying, like, I think Spencer's going to win that job. I think Spencer's going to be a week one starter, you know, and it's going to come down to the success or failure on the field. And unfortunately for Spencer, it's not going to be a situation that's set up for success. So, I mean, the most likely scenario and probably the best case scenario for the Saints is you end up with Spencer as your week one starter. He's got whatever runway is in front of him. If he does not get in the air by the end of that, then you make that change, and doing it that way will give a will give some valuable time for a Tyler Shuck to learn, maybe get in some games as in a, as a backup, and then you turn to him at whatever point in the season. I think week 12 against the Falcons after the bye would make a ton of sense. First game in the Superdome against the division rival. So like that's kind of how I see it going. And right now, in the very, 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 very limited dose of what we have seen, that looks like it's possible.
The thing with Spencer, he's got that year under his belt where you expect the rookie, even though he's a second round pick, to kind of have a lot of more of that uncertainty about his game and, you know, the adjusting to the speed of the NFL we hear so much about.
Yeah, you know, this is Brandon Cooks talking about the QB competition. Let's see what he has to say.
They're playing with a lot of confidence, both of those guys, and you can see the competition going on. They can definitely sling it. So, you know, I look forward to continue to see that grow.
They can definitely sling it. They can, both of them.
Sling it. You would hope so, right?
Yeah. You would certainly hope so. This is Shuck talking about it as well.
It's all been really friendly and having fun. You know, we're out there competing on in every little thing. Indy, net drills, footwork, you know, all that stuff. That's the fun part about this job, man. It's, we're going out there, we're trying to get better.
And this is Tyler talking about the language of the play.
That helped me out at Louisville this past year, having that huddle mechanics the whole time, coming in through the headset, basically getting your feet wet there, and then now you can kind of come into this, hitting the ground running.
Yeah, and I think that is going to be a big part of, like, if Tyler does end up being the week one starter, it's going to be because he comes into the NFL with a little bit more understanding of, like you look at, like, a Dylan Gabriel or even, like, a Shedeur Sanders, like, they weren't operating in pro-style offenses. Like, they're going to have to learn how to operate out of a huddle, how to run an NFL offense before they're trusted to run an NFL offense. One of the reasons that you felt better about bringing Tyler in is because of what they were able to do with Jeff Brohm over at Louisville. And, you know, you see it on tape. You see him operating that offense on tape. And you're like, okay, yeah, like, he's actually running an NFL offense. It's going to be more, like, immensely more complicated, but the mechanics should be similar.
Yeah, we, you know, we're talking to Drew Brees and hearing some of the, you know, what he's had to say about that. He definitely looks at that as a huge positive for Shuck going into this situation, having that experience in that pro system at Louisville. And, you know, oh my goodness, he's that older rookie going into this year.
Yes, yes. He's ancient. He's basically the crypt keeper. You know, but I look forward to when people stop talking about that. All right. Anything else on the quarterbacks before we move forward?
No. Like I said, was impressed with what Deckers can do. I realize he's a developmental piece, but very curious what else he can show us. And the timeout from Haener, like you mentioned, is not necessarily a death blow. But I do think even come training camp that Deckers is a guy that could definitely beat him out because of the arm talent.
Yeah, one other thing I'll mention is, like, the veteran QB thing. Like, we and like I said, like, Jake has a hard time not just being brutally honest, which is, I appreciate as a reporter, because it's like, I know the information I'm getting from him is actually, like, legitimate. Like, he's not just bullshitting me.
Unfiltered, but, like, Jake Haener.
If he was the starter, he would get in trouble. Like, you know, like, he had some hard, harsh takes on Caleb Williams and the whole film study thing. And he talks about him kind of like a, like, I talk about, like trust fund babies who never had to work hard, you know, like, self-made billionaires who's like, oh, all I got was a small little, like, $20 million interest-free loan from my dad. Otherwise, I mean, I'm completely self-made. You know, anyway, like, that's kind of how he talked about it. But, you know, we asked him about, like, veteran quarterbacks. Like, do you think you need a veteran in the room? And he was basically like, no. Like, what, we just need to sign some random dude to come in and, like, hold our hand? Like, no. And I tend to agree with him, because it's like, what is Kellen Moore if not that veteran who's not playing, right? Like, you're not, if the point is, and I've kind of come around on this, like, if the point is to sign a active quarterback who you do not intend to play to be, like, a assistant coach, then what have you done if not already found those players that are just on your coaching staff, right? Like, what is the benefit of that player actually playing when he's not a guy that you want to give reps to because you don't intend to start him? Now, maybe when you get into the season, that's another story. But right now, I don't see it because it's like, I want them to be listening to Scott Tolzien and Doug Nussmeier and Scott Linehan and Kellen Moore anyway. I don't want a random veteran to show up and suddenly be talking like a coach. So I don't know. But also, Jake Haener doesn't want that to happen because that would probably mean he gets caught.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, we've heard it a ton from the coaching staff to, like you mentioned, with Haener saying they don't feel like they need that veteran presence. We'll see kind of later on. But when you hear from some former QBs, a la Drew Brees, Bobby Hebert, they do feel like that is a benefit to the room.
They do, but at the same time, they never – I mean, yes, when they were young quarterbacks, but were they in a situation where they had four former NFL quarterbacks on their coaching staff?
Right.
Not really?
Right.
And I get it. Like, I understand why you would think that way, but if he's not going to be your backup, I don't get it. If you feel like you need to go out and find a veteran quarterback so they can be your backup, then that's one thing. If it's just to have a dude in the room, then what is Kellen Moore, right? So I don't know. Like, if Drew Brees came up with Sean Payton, I don't feel like he would feel the same about needing Joe, or who was it?
Doug Flutie,
right? Like, if you have the quarterback on the coaching staff, I feel like you would feel a lot more comfortable not having a Doug Flutie. But
Sean was a quarterback, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. But Sean didn't play in the NFL, did he? I think he was a scab.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So it's a little different than having a guy who literally played. Like, and here's the thing: like, former quarterbacks, whatever, like, Kellen Moore not only was an NFL quarterback, he was that veteran backup. Like, that was literally his role. He was never a starter. He was always the guy who showed up and was kind of that older veteran player. And like, you look at Dak Prescott, like, he was like, Kellen Moore was Dak Prescott's veteran QB. So he knows what to do. Like, he knows what needs to happen. So I don't know. I don't see it.
That's something with the veteran QB. If it does happen, I feel we're looking at mid to later in training camp.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, after cuts, you know, if you feel like you don't, you know, if you feel like you want to protect. So, if you, for example, Tyler Shuck is your, you know, Spencer Rattler wins the job, right? He's your starter. And I want to avoid a scenario where the first time Tyler Shuck gets on the field is in a terrible backup scenario, kind of like last year with Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler. Like, I don't want his first exposure to the NFL be in a situation where he's doomed, right? And you just destroy confidence. So if, to me, the scenario is like, hey, you get to that point, Spencer Rattler is your starter, and I want to sign a veteran who I think can come in mid-game and maybe give us a chance to win. And even if, like, kind of like the Giants, right? Like, they have Jameis Winston. I expect Russ to be their starter, Jameis to be their backup. But when push comes to shove, if someone has to go start a game, it'd be Jackson Dart. And I think, like, that's the scenario that I could see them adding a veteran, but not just as like a, we as a coaching staff can't get it done. We got to get a veteran QB in there to help these guys. Otherwise, we'll fail. Like, I don't think they're going to look at it that way. But all right, let's close out this segment. Come back. Quick one. Biggest questions that we hope to see answered over the next month, going into training camp, that sort of thing. Inside Black and Gold, I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller, coming at you after OTA session number one and before OTA session number two. And then there will be OTA session number three, and then mini camp sessions number one, two, and three. Still have no video because they keep doing stuff inside. But that's neither here nor there.
Be careful what you wish.
Yeah, right. I will not be complaining as long as I get to enjoy air conditioning and not sweat through my shirt. We'll be right back.